This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. And welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Here's a clue to tonight's study. The journey finds trouble on the way. It is here that we find the commonality and the thread that binds us. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 17th day of November 2017, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower. And this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Genesis chapter 25, starting at verse 19 through chapter 28, verse 9. Malachi chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 7. And the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through chapter 11, verse 30. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read the latest articles by the Watchman. In getting understanding, get this: choice, chance, and consequence. Proverbs 14. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The stanchion of liberty, fundamental truths of an American on America. Liberty is the focus and rights of the people is included in that. Yet, as Justice Thomas said recently, we have plenty of pluribus, but no unum. In other words, no unity. But everyone pushing their independent view. On the eve of Thanksgiving and the approaching December holidays of Hanukkah and Christmas, let's be thankful. And rural Thanksgiving, turkey, prayer, and family. Every holiday, like Thanksgiving, the family would gather, Grandma and Grandpa from the farm, Mom and Dad, and me. It was a wonderful time to give thanks, to share this within the family, and look to Almighty God for His blessings. And the newest article out today is American Thanksgiving 2017, Showcase for the Idiocy of Political Correctness and Strange Behavior. Thanksgiving 2017, the bizarre world of end-time America in this bizarre world. There is yet hope amidst all the futile hatred and bloodshed. That hope is eternal and in the hearts of the believers. So check those out by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can follow The Watchman and Warn Radio on Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Vimeo, and on Twitter. Get the latest updates of the WIBR Warn Radio events, shows, and more. And to follow us on Twitter, go to hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag hashtag WGS underscore Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Oh, much better today. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, we definitely... Oh, by the way, last night's show was Prophecy World Events, Tribulation 101, Possess Your Souls, Part 2. Tonight is Journey of Promise for both Christians and Jews, Part 2. Both of these studies kind of play hand in hand. So check out that one we did last night. You'll already find it on our website. You'll also find the video on our website or on our Vimeo high def HD video site.
Hey, tonight's going to be Part 3, Dana.
Yeah, it is. That didn't get changed there. Did everywhere else, but that one little one didn't. In what you're reading, that got changed. Yeah, we are in Part 3. No doubt. That is how time flies. But we are here on
yes,
a Friday night and Shabbat.
And glad to be here.
Yep. Kind of snowing, sleeting. And it's actually been a pretty good November.
It has, so far.
Yeah. And so, well, actually, it got a little colder in October. And we had something come in last night and today. And so tomorrow, I don't know, the weekend, it's not going to be, you know, super warm, but for us it's warm. 50 degrees is a heat wave here. Yep. Yeah, that's a heat wave. When you're in our neck of the woods, 50 degrees is a heat wave.
Yes, now, sir, this time of year.
If you're down in Vegas, 50 degrees is cold. Or down in Texas somewhere, I think, you know. But for us here, you know, of course, there are times when even freezing is warm weather.
Yeah.
We lived in North Dakota for quite a while. I went to college up there.
Boy, that was cold.
Yeah. And you'd get 100 below wind chill up there. And we came to know North Dakota pretty good up there. And, I mean, it just flat gets cold.
It does.
You know, what do you do?
That was a long, long time ago, and we were a lot younger, so it didn't bother us like I think it would now.
Yeah, well, there's no way. No, that don't even enter into it.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, my dad used to say that all the time, you know, the older you get, you know, the harder it is to spend the winters. But, you know, I don't really have that much of a problem with it. I make it through pretty good. So
well,
does
I
Tower.
I don't want to go down where there's lots of people, where the weather's warm in the wintertime. You have tons of people, so I guess I can put up with the cold.
Yeah.
When there's not so many people.
Well, an old friend of mine by the name of Waco, he used to say, we used to hang around together, he used to help me do stuff, and he was quite an old boy. He used to say that he can put up the cold better than he can the people. So
yeah.
So he decided to, you know, of course, he had been up in this neck of the woods all of his life. And we buried him. Well, man, it's been quite a while. But
maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah. But I still remember him fondly. We used to, he was a funny guy. I mean, just funny. Funny to be around.
Yeah.
And I was working for a nonprofit at that time, feeding people. And he would come in and help us. And, of course, we had a lot of gals in there, and we had, of course, some guys in there, but he would make everybody laugh. Just, he was so funny. And
he was.
Yeah, totally different than his wife. His wife was a politician, and she was a little more off the cuff, you know, straightforward, this is the way it is. Waco was just the opposite.
Yeah, that's probably why they attracted.
Yeah. Yeah, so at any rate, time goes by.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I have another friend I haven't seen for quite a while, too, and the last time I talked to him, he wasn't doing very good, and I've thought of him a couple of times. I lost track of him. But you can never tell, you know. People come and go so quick. And, you know, you got to thank God for every day you get. You really do. And you got to thank him and be thankful. I was talking about that last night, too. And I think it's very important in your life, and especially around your children, and, you know, remind everybody to be thankful. Because every breath you get, it's because of the Lord. Every day
That's right.
It's
Amen.
Because of God. And, you know, I mean, everything. This nation, I mean, everything you have in this world and out of this world, you know, he sustains it. So, at any rate, we got Thanksgiving coming up. And Thanksgiving's a good holiday. We won't be doing a show on Thanksgiving, but next Friday, the day after, we will have a Sound the Shofar show. then we head into, of course, Hanukkah and Christmas and, of course, the pagan New Year. Yes, sirree. Everybody going to Times Square to watch the ball drop. And
I used to like to watch that on TV, but I don't care about it anymore.
Well, it wouldn't be bad if they had decent music and decent stuff going on, but today the stuff is just pure yuck.
Yeah.
You know, just nothing I like. I wouldn't spend 5 minutes listening to them.
I would never want to be out there either with all those people. And
no, that's not my, it's just not my cup of tea, you know. That's why.
No, you'd be claustrophobic, all those people around you, not being able to get out and move, and I wouldn't do well.
No, I'm just not interested in that.
Never have been, actually.
No. No, never, ever. But at any rate, Christmas coming up. Of course, there's if you're Messianic and some of the others, you probably have some problem with Christmas. But, you know, the bottom line of it is all the churches do give glory to the Lord. And as Paul said one time, he was in bonds in Rome, and he said it gave people the opportunity to speak up, and he says some spoke to support him and get the gospel out for the Lord, and others did it contentiously to cause trouble. The thing of it is, he said it didn't matter, though, as long as Christ was preached. Even if they preached it just to add to his bonds, he said he didn't care as long as Christ was preached. And so if you apply that to Christmas, the people do stand up and give glory to the Lord. And it's a time of goodwill and peace on earth. And, it's time to just give them a little slack and a little mercy and let them celebrate. I don't do the Santa Claus thing. And, of course, we're older. We naturally wouldn't, but I was never into Santa Claus. When I was a kid, I was, but, the bottom line of it is that even as a kid, I was, raised a Methodist, but I enjoyed the trees, and everything. And, of course, people come out and said, well, you can't have Christmas trees, you can't have lights, and they compared it to idolatry, and Well, you know, when I was under that tree as a kid, I never once thought about worshiping the friggin' tree. It's in it's the heart attitude, and some of these people act like they're living the law. And while we do talk about the law, and we can give you instances throughout Scripture, especially in the apostles, of them warning about what not to do. But, you know, it is a time of goodwill. Except when you're talking about ISIS. And, of course, ISIS has come out, and they had, there were some articles today. I didn't read them all. Today's articles were just nothing but dog patch sin, disgusting, moronic idiocy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And so I scrolled through them real fast, and I got them out of the way. Because if I don't get through them, then I'm going to have to look at them the next time because of the way my feed works. So at any rate, the bottom line of it is going into Christmas, you know, I mean, from Thanksgiving on, we can be thankful. You get to Hanukkah, you know, Hanukkah is celebrated as a festival of lights, and the Lord is the light of the world, and you can relate that to Christ. You can also relate the fact that Hanukkah was a legitimate miracle. I've actually talked about that and taught on that very thing when I do Antiochus Epiphanes, Shadows of the Antichrist. Because Hanukkah and, you know, Antiochus are right in the middle of this Shadows of the Antichrist. And, of course, when you go to Christmas, then you can just have mercy on people. You know, the angels said to the shepherds, you know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And that's what the Lord wanted. Now, while God does not command us to remember his death, matter of fact, he commanded us to remember his While Scripture does not command us to remember his death, I mean his birth, Scripture does tell us through the communion to remember his death on the cross in the communion, the shedding of the blood, and, of course, the bread representing his body and his blood. But you know, so the Christians celebrate his birth. But in the process, we can find the angels singing goodwill to all men, peace on earth. And in this world of hatred and just pure downright sin and bloodshed, it doesn't hurt to spread a little mercy and a little peace around at Christmas time. And if you're a Christian or a Messianic and you think that's horrible, then you better get back in and repent. Because you need to repent. Look in the mirror and tell yourself to repent. Because during that time of Christmas, it's not saying, you know, we're so much better. It is saying that God sent his son, and God says, peace on earth. I'm sending you my goodwill, and his goodwill that was in the form of his son. His son was came out as a result of God's mercy. God's mercy provided you with a tool of grace, and grace allowed you to come before God and please God, because without faith and that grace, grace allows you to have faith. Faith allows you to please God. And at the same time, it allows you to be accounted righteous because of that faith and that belief. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Amen. That's right.
And of course, my book, Steal the Darkness, we're going to... What are we doing? December 2nd, we have a giveaway over, and you'll find the links over on our websites. And it's not a big giveaway. It's a small one. I'm planning some other stuff. But Go on over and check the book over there, and there's a link there for you to qualify. See if you can qualify. It's not a big deal. Qualify for putting your name in the hat for. We're given Steal the Darkness, a copy of that. It's a Kindle book, giving that away. So be sure to check that out. And, you know, I mean, if you want to, that's up to you. But there is a number of things we've got to do regarding the book. And so we're working on that. The press release already went out. And we're planning a series of them. And I'm going to write them. I've got three more books, and I've decided today that I'm definitely going to write them.
Yeah, that's good. That's exciting.
And Tower has been right in there with me to produce the book, this last one. She helped me edit it. She read through it quite a few times. But we both think it's a good read. And it's exciting read. It's fast-moving. That's what we think, okay? I never sent it out to anybody to get it officially, you know, well, it's this, it's that. Well, see, when I write, when I go through stuff, and if I edit it and Tower goes through it and we're happy with it, that's good enough for us. I've been writing ever since I was a kid. I've been writing stories. My first story that I wrote was actually a mini book at about the age of 11 or 12 called Date with Death. And I always knew that I was going to be writing when I was 65. I knew that at an early age. And I've been doing it all my life. My mother was a writer. My grandmother was a writer for a newspaper. And so it's in my blood. My kids are writers. And Tower's the editor and the producer.
I don't know how good I am.
Yeah.
I'm not the writer, that's for sure.
Well, you see,
but I enjoy reading.
Well, see, Tower, we love her. And so, you know, that makes up for the fact she's really cheap, too. She comes cheap.
Yeah, thanks.
She don't charge. Well, folks, at any rate, we do want to do some other things for the second book. We do want to have people get in there and make suggestions for the second book. And in order to do that, you've got to read the first book. And so I have put up on Spreaker I do little short segments. This week I did a short segment on our shows. I try to do that every week now. But in that segment, I talk about the book and about some of the things we're going to do. So check that little short segment out. And check out the book as well. And there are some of you that help support us, and you're real faithful. And I want to make available to you a Kindle, or if you want a paperback, we can get you paperback. But some of you are around the world, so we're going to have to figure out how you can get a paperback to you. And it is around the world. Ingram and Amazon both have stores around the world online. So that's how you're going to have to get them. But you know who you are, and you've contacted me before when I've said this. So if you want the book and you're a regular supporter of this of our ministry, I want to give you a book. Now, don't worry, we don't have 100,000 supporters. I couldn't afford that many. You know, we're not here to get rich. The Lord takes care of us. We have people that join with us to help us meet the basic needs and everything, and we keep plugging on. And we've been doing that for 20 years now. It's in everything we do is in the hands of the Lord. One of these days, everything's going to go south anyway. And I don't mean because of us. I mean, it's just going to go south, the whole thing. Tribulation is going to be here. And, you know, and so, you know, really, from our standpoint and our children, the Lord can come anytime. You know,
yeah.
you know, we don't have a problem with that. I don't get into teaching all that. Don't worry about it. There's people that do. If you want that kind of teaching, help yourself. I'm preparing people for hell breaking loose on earth. And I teach on the remnant and expecting miracles and signs and wonders, walking in the power of God and getting through this alive. So, you know, the bottom line of it is wherever you're at tonight, we have put together a system to get these shows out to the ends of the earth. And we've been doing that for a lot of years, folks. And we have people literally from around the world that's contacted us. We've had people from around the world that have come to our websites. And of course, now, because of places like Facebook, who has 2 billion people on it, which is, I can't even imagine that many. But we've gotten to the point to where people around the world can easily contact us. And we do get that, but we also get a lot of weird people, and some of the weirdest are some of the females. And for a guy, and especially a preacher who's a guy, these females come out of the woodwork, and they're always propositioning you. Now, most of my filters and everything take all this out. But every once in a while, one will friend us on Facebook, and we had a woman the other day that told us that the woman is showing her breasts. Well, you know, folks, I check out all of their sites, and there's some of them that the women, if they're half naked on their website, I'm not going to friend them. I'm not interested.
Exactly. Yeah.
But this girl was nothing like that, and yet she had this picture, and so this one woman warned us about it, and not just me. There was a number of men that she had done that with. I don't get upset over these things, because this is the way society is today, and it's also the way things work on Facebook and a lot of other places. And I've learned to fight and to try to keep our websites from being impregnated with all kinds of stuff. And I have some of the top sites and top software, and I work with some of the top in the business to keep websites from being infected and problematic. But having said that, you know, I did find the post, and, you know, they were kind of bare, but they weren't wide open. But at any rate, she went bye-bye. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that, you know, as hard as you try, you're never going to keep all this stuff out. And, you know, even Tower, in the box, she gets things from all these guys. I mean, this is the way the devil works. And so you can get rid of that stuff. Most, I'd say 90% of the stuff that comes to me that's no good goes right into my the junk pile. I don't ever see it. And I over the years I've got tons of it. One time we were hit, and I had what it's called a copper mine, and it is a photographic thing where I kept all the photographs for my websites. Well, I since don't have anything like that. Well, it got hacked. And we wound up, and I forgot how many photographs, but I had tons of photographs. And every one of them had a comment form. And every comment form had some of the vilest words and pictures and stuff. I mean, I had the whole thing was just filled with this because it had gotten hacked. And because they hate Christian websites. Well, that don't happen anymore, thank God, because of the security and everything else we do. But see, this is the way the world is today. And so you got to protect your children, you got to protect yourself, and you got to be careful online. And that's the bottom line.
You do, you really do.
You can't just allow your kids to go wandering willy-nilly because you
they get into trouble.
Yeah, they do. And us, I'll tell you, now it's not just little boys that get in trouble, but little girls do too. So, and of course, you've got adult perverts trying to lead them astray as well. So, this is a wicked, wicked world. Now, there's a lot of good things in this world, and there's a lot of good people. And to be honest with you, God made man in such a manner that, you know, men, humans, are able to do fantastic things. They're able to do grand things. They're able to be so good, you know, and create things so wonderful. But in the same token, in the fall of man and the sin that many of them have, they do things so dark, so wicked, so perverse, that you can't even believe it. And that's the way the world is, and that's why we're waiting for Jesus, Yeshua. Because he's going to put down all this stuff, and we won't have to worry about that again, and our children will be safe. I don't worry about them, but I'm concerned, and I always talk about this, the kids. And because I see it in the news, I see it around, and I hate what I see. So look up today, take care of your family, take care of your children, seek the Lord, trust in him.
Amen. That's right.
Well, at any rate, we're going to have to get this show on the road. If not, I'm going to wind up preaching.
Okay. Well, I'll see you on the other side then.
Okay. Journey, a Promise for Both Christians and Jews, Part 3. Now, that is true. It is Part 3. And we are in Exodus. And we're going through, and this has really been the intro, these three parts. Let me see how we're looking here. So at any rate, Exodus chapter 1, 13 through 22. Now we discussed this verse last time. And I like to pick up, so it's called continuity. So you know where we left off, what we were talking about, so we can continue with that thought and the teaching. And verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Now see, I pointed out the last time that during their time in Egypt, of course, when Joseph was there, Egypt was a place of salvation. And when Joseph died, and when the Pharaoh at that time died, a new Pharaoh came on the throne that did not know Israel. And after a while, he got to see how Israel had grown. Matter of fact, he was worried because Israel was getting more in number and a threat. And he was afraid that they would join with the enemies against them and they would lose their land. So they decided to oppress Israel. And now in Exodus 1:13, this is the rigor that they made. Now the interesting thing, folks, is this. God had told Abraham that the children of Israel, he didn't know them as the children of Israel at that time. Abraham didn't when he was revealed this. Abraham was told the promise, and he was also told that God told him that there was his children, his kin, his offspring, who would go through a time of darkness. Now, Abraham had a dream, and it was darkness, really bad. And God said, that is the darkness that they're going to have to go through, a time of real trouble. Now, you see, it's interesting that that God had said that, because in today's prophecy, we have a time of trouble coming, and it's called the tribulation. Scripture calls it a snare upon all the earth. Scripture talks about it as being a time that has never been since there's been nations. And we know it is that. And so here in verse 13, the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And of course, the Egyptians, we can take Egypt as a type of the world. Pharaoh is the type of the devil, Satan, the enemy. And of course, the children of Israel and the promises, we can type that out right alongside the church, Christianity. We can talk about the same promises that God gave to Abraham. Paul mentions the promise in Galatians that because we believe God, Abraham also believed God. So we are the children of Abraham because of that promise and because of faith. We have bonded together in that. Now, so we see that time of rigor in here. And we also know that there's a time of rigor that the last days church and the last days people are going to have to face. Now, of course, the problem that you come in here at is, of course, the teaching that the pre-trib and mid-trib, that the Christians won't be here. But in fact, I hate to break it to you, but they will be here. And they will be here until the end, and then they will be with the Lord. They will be with him by the time he comes back to this earth. Now, at any rate, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick, and we read all that. Now, you see, this is part of the prophecy that God gave Abraham. This is part of the promise that God gave Abraham. This is the will of God that they were to go through rigor. Now, Paul even talks about rigor in a matter of speaking when he says that through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord himself said that in the world you will have tribulation. Well, we will, and many Christians do have trouble and tribulation. In America, they have trouble, not necessarily tribulation, especially like the ones the Christians have around the world today or did in 2014, 2015, when ISIS killed many of them. But lives can actually be bitter, and I don't mean bitter in spirit, but I mean hard bondage bitter. I mean, it's physically hard. People are dying from working hard. And so this is the thing that people need to understand that God did with the children of Israel. Now, of course, any time you see God raise up, including Joseph, you see Joseph was raised to the second only to the Pharaoh. But Joseph had to go through rigor. He was sold into captivity. And, of course, he was accused of fraternizing with, one of his taskmaster's wife, and he was thrown into prison. And, of course, he went from that prison to the second in command. But there's always, and, of course, the word says that the word had to try Joseph until he was ready, until the word had been fulfilled. You always see this, that when God raises up one of his leaders, they have to go through a time of testing, a time of learning, a time of trusting God. Now, the children of Israel were there. If they hadn't have gone through that, they'd have probably never wanted to go into the land. Now, you see, the promise was that God was going to give the land to Abraham and to his children. But see, when they got into Egypt, it became a place of safety for them. And over the years, they prospered. They were living in Goshen, which is a good place. And they prospered. It's just all there is to it. That is until this other Pharaoh came in and he started causing them to serve with rigor. Now see, if that had never have happened, they would never have been interested in leaving Egypt. Why would they? Now see, this is scriptural. This is a scriptural point you need to hang on to. Now, see, when we look at the apostles in Jerusalem, he had told them at the end of Matthew, you can find the Great Commission, that the gospel is to be preached, you know, in Jerusalem and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Of course, Samaria was where the mixed breeds were, Jews, Gentiles, etc. It represents more of the unclean. It represents actually the Gentile side of it. Jerusalem, the Jewish side, and the gospel went to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles, or they say, then to the Greeks. But see, they were comfortable for the most part in Jerusalem. Then persecution came and spread them out across the Roman Empire. And of course, we attribute the gospel spreading throughout the Roman Empire because Jerusalem did have persecution against the Christians, and they had to flee. And when they left, they took the gospel with them in the message, and people got saved all over the place. And churches were started, house churches, and so this is the way God works. Now we're looking at the end time church now, and we're comfortable. And many of you are sitting in churches being taught by men who were taught by men who were taught by men, all based on one little thing about a rapture being early. And we've got people with doctorates who teach this stuff that are absolutely convinced it's the truth. Now, I ain't going to argue about it because I frankly don't care, because the truth is going to be made known one day. But all I'm saying is you better be prepared. The Lord is coming. I'm not saying it's not coming. But you better be prepared for the rigor. And we can find the type. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you read stuff in Scripture as history and absolute scriptural fact, and you can trace the lines and the shadows clear to the New Testament and find what the apostles are saying, then I'm going to tell you that this stuff is going to happen, and it's going to happen to the end day church as well. And this was hard bondage, and that which is coming, it will be unlike any other time. And that's one of the reasons I'm going through this, so you can see this. Now, you see, I'm not going to judge you in this matter. Scripture will judge you. And you have to decide, and the Spirit of God within you is going to try to reach you. Now, you see, even Paul says that the Spirit in us lusteth to envy. Now, that's not the ungodly lust, but it wants you, the Spirit of God wants you to listen, but the Spirit of God, neither can the Father or the Son force man to do what they don't want to do. God gave us the ability to make a choice, and you're going to make your own choices, and then you will live with those. And in eternity, then, you will stand up for God, before God, and he will judge you based upon your choices you made. So remember that. Now let's go to verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, that's getting ready to have a baby, folks. They didn't have no bed, and they didn't have no stirrups, and they didn't have a doctor and a nurse in a warm room waiting for the women. They had to get up on the stools, and, well, you can figure the rest of it out. If it be a son, then you will kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Because they can marry the daughters off. And the daughters can be good concubines for the Egyptians. That's what they were doing. But they also wanted to kill the son because they didn't want the sons to be of warrior age. Now, the big problem you have in this, and that is, if you continue to kill all the sons, nobody's going to be doing the bricks. Nobody's going to be doing the hard bondage. There's going to be women, but they can't, you know, not going to be able to do it like the men do it. But the midwives feared God. Of course, they were Jewish midwives. At least that's what I take this to mean. and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them. It's really funny that they use the word king, but then, of course, this was translated. You'd have to get into the to the Latin or to the Greek Septuagint in order to find some of the better translations of this. And the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. And did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. So now this tells me that they are indeed Egyptians, because, and they may be some other, they may not be Egyptians, there may be other nationalities in Egypt, because at the time Egypt was a big commerce center. It was well known. Even during Joseph's time, the nations all around Egypt went in there to get grain and buy it from Joseph, because he was the one in charge of all that. And delivered ere the midwives come into them. In other words, she's saying that the Hebrew women were not like Egyptian women who took a while to give birth. The Hebrew women just popped these kids out right now with no problem. It's kind of humorous. But apparently the Pharaoh believed him, because what does he know? He's a Pharaoh. He's a king. He doesn't deliver any babies. So they gave him this story, and of course they must have all lived. Doesn't say that they got killed, but you need an excuse. So at any rate, and the Hebrew women were not like the Egyptian women. They would have been working hard as well. So you could definitely know that that the women like that would have been able to put up with more and probably have a more natural birth. Not to mention the fact they were the children, chosen of God, whereas the Egyptian women weren't. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Now, see, this is what we see time and again there, and also we see during persecutions. Now, there are places where they carried on persecution that the Christian community almost got wiped out, and most recently, 2014, 2015, in Iraq, ISIS moving through, and even in Syria, some communities in Syria, the Christians were totally wiped out. There wasn't any left. There was no churches left. There was nothing. In Iraq, they have just a portion, just a small portion of the Christians that were there before. And of course, in Iraq, that goes back to the war that America was involved in, and all the coalition partners there as well. So there is some responsibility on America's part. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And, of course, they did go through, and there was that time of ravaging in the area to kill the male children. Now, of course, this also happened in the time of Christ as well. And, of course, they went down into Egypt when a lot of this was happening. But you see, when we look at history, scriptural history, and when we see how these things are connected, there's something there that you cannot ignore. Now, in Acts 14, let's look at this, in verse 19 through 22. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, this is an example of, this is Paul, but a lot of the early church, as well as the apostles and their helpers, all faced persecution. And many times the Jews would follow him around, wherever there was a teaching, or if there was a lot of people that are getting interested in what the apostles had to say, the Jews were there to stop it. They would try to get the people raised against those who were doing this. Sometimes they got the city fathers. They were very political and had a very good ability in this to get, you know, the authorities, including the Romans, involved to do it. But most of the time, they didn't really want the Romans involved because they didn't want to be seen as problematic to the Roman Empire. But they wanted to show the Romans the Christians were the problems. And so that's where they had worked from. And, of course, Paul, they had a problem dealing with Paul because they couldn't reason with him out of scriptures because he beat him all the time. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was, you know, he said that he kept the law blameless. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. There's no way these guys are going to out-talk him when it comes to scripture. He's going to know it all. And so they didn't even bother after a while. They just went to find people who would try to kill him or get rid of him. And they did try to kill him. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now this is really, really a good portion of scripture. Paul here is beaten up, thrown out of the city, and he just lay there as if he's dead. And he probably was totally unconscious. And he probably looked dead. And so as he laid on the ground and he looked dead, the people that did it left. And so they're standing around probably wondering what to do now since Paul was dead. And the guy rose up. Now, he didn't go over to Mary's house or Martha's house or Judy's house or Billy's house and say, well, you know, I just got the living daylights beat out of me. I need to take a couple of days off and get out of this country. He didn't say that. Now, we might say that in America, you know, because we're wusses here. Come on. We are. And so he got up. And so he probably, you know, I'm putting in my own inflection here, got up, looked around, and said, okay, boys, come on, we're leaving. Where are you going? Well, I got to preach the gospel. So he went over and he preached the gospel to another city in Derbe, and he taught many there, and then they turned around and went right back to where they came from. And right where where the people had beat him up, you know, he had already gone to the other town, taught him a lot. Everything was going good, but he went back to where he got beat up because he wanted to talk to the disciples. And this also shows in the face of those who beat him up. I'm back, boys and girls. I'm here, and I'm in your face. I'm the apostle, and I've got many followers here, and we're not afraid of you beating us up because we have the truth, and we're going to preach the truth no matter what. Now, see, that's Paul in your face. You know, they say Paul was a small man. He wasn't real tall, and he wasn't real big. And I imagine him, you know, when I've read the description of what some of the people who have research this said, about 5'8", maybe 165 pounds, not a scrap of fat on him, fasting a lot, definitely a Jew, and he would still keep the feasts and everything like that. All the apostles kept the feasts and kept the Sabbath, and matter of fact, even the Gentiles did that came to the Lord. And so at any rate, he turns around and he says, you know, guys and gals, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That's the way it is. Now, see, this relates right back to what we saw was the will of God for the children of Israel. That, in fact, the children of Israel, under the will of God, served rigor. Well, the Christian church, Christians, apostles, those who follow the Lord were taught that in the world's going to hate you because it hated me. Don't be surprised if they hate you, because it hated me. And he says, we are not to fear those who kill the body. Don't fear them. You know, and he talked a lot about this. And, you know, that's the point. When we get in modern day America, we get to the point we're saying, well, you know, we as Christians in America, we don't deserve to go through this. We're not going to go through that. And so we've been convinced that we're not going to go through it. Now, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the church is not going to go through the wrath of God period of the tribulation. But by then, all of those who are going to be martyred are going to be martyred. And then there's going to be those who are sealed. And after that, that's the whore church, and they are going through the tribulation. I can guarantee you that. They will go through the tribulation. And if you look at the seven churches in Revelation, you're going to find out he told them, I'll kill your children with death. You will go through tribulation. Now, this is serious business. And every church in America and in the UK, around the world, especially in the Western portion, where we see Western Christianity, where we see we haven't seen the persecution that they have around the world, you're going to be judged. Churches, pastors, deacons. And you're going to be judged not for living in America, but for what you did in America while you were here. And you see, this is the point. You know, some of the biggest problems the church has today is how to pay their bills. Christians, well, they got a car payment, they got a, you know, of course, a house payment, they've got this insurance, they got that insurance, they got college, they got retirement, they got medical, they've got this, they got that. You know, these are the problems we have. I call these gnat stings. Those aren't problems. Those are gnat stings. A problem is when you try to go to church and a Muslim comes in and kills you and everybody in your sight. Or maybe it's a Hindu like over in India. Or maybe it's in Nepal where they do that and, you know, you see it. Or maybe you're in North Korea where they'll run you over, you know, flatten your butt in a roller. And Kim Jong-un has done that. Or maybe they're in China where you're protesting them taking down your cross on your big church. And the guy that is charged to take down that comes up with his big machinery and he's about ready to knock it all down and you stand in the way. So instead, he just picks you up with that scoop, puts you in a big hole and buries you up and drives over the top of you. Now that happened. Now those are problems. Now you see that's what we see. So we need to remember these things. Remember, the children of Israel served with rigor according to the will of God. Christians go through tribulation in the world according to the will of God. Paul the Apostle said that. The Lord said that. We have this in the New Testament. And to say absolutely that Christians in America are never going to go through that is a lie. And it's a lie out of the pit of hell. Now, of course, you can believe anything you want. It ain't going to make any difference to me. But I bring these things up in a way, hopefully, that you will listen and think about. Because there's a lot of things that we're taught, including out of Bible school, people that should know that don't know. Now I know. And I know because the Lord revealed it to me. And then he confirmed it. Now beyond that, don't take my word for it. You need to fast and pray and get into the Word and think about this yourself. And while you're at it, ignore the 70th week of Daniel, okay? And then look through all your scripture and find anywhere where it says you're going to go through a 7-year tribulation. Mm-hmm. I know what you're going to find, but you just do it. 2 Thessalonians 1. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulation that you endure. Now this isn't the churches in Wyoming. It's not the churches in many parts. Now, a while ago, there was a church. And it happened not too long ago. And he went in there armed to the teeth. It was one of the worst mass killings in a church in American history. That happened like a month ago, a month and a half. Now see, that's a problem. Years ago, I warned about this. And I don't say that to say I told you so, but it was just, we knew it was coming by the grace of God. But this is not the ending of it, folks. This is the beginning. And if you listen to my teachings on blood guilt, you will find in there a reference that I make to this. And we know that it's going to happen to the church, and we know that it's going to happen in America. But you find the vengeance of the blood that's going to take place by the Lord himself upon the end time beast and all of his people, not to mention Mystery Babylon and the harlot. Because the blood is going to be found in her. It's going to be, well, you read Revelation and you look at all the things according to the blood, or just listen to my, this year I did one on that, very intense, very deep. I'm not sure how long it is, but you'll find it. Just put in blood guilt on my website, warren-usa.com. And if you can't find it, you send me an email from my website, and I will give you a link to it. We've got a lot of stuff like that, and they're there for a reason, to help you be informed. So here we are in Thessalonica. And see, they were glorying because the people in the churches, now these aren't big edifices, these are house churches, places where they're meeting. Now in some of the places, when Paul was doing it, the Gentiles were actually going into, they would meet him, in the outer court of the temple, place where all those cellars and everything, and he could talk to them there. But for the most part, I mean, they would meet down by a river, they would meet in a house, wherever they could meet at. And they had patience and faith in all the persecution and tribulations and that they endured. Now, he goes on to say, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Okay? Now, this is another word for saying this is in the will of God, just like it was for the children of Israel that we read earlier. It was in the will of God for them to suffer with rigor because they had a reward coming. They were doing something. God was putting them through a trial. He told Abraham that they would go through this, but he was going to deliver them out with a mighty hand. Now here, he tells the church, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Now, you see, if you love the world too much, are you really going to want to go to the kingdom of God? I mean, really? Most people are willing to go. You know, that is when they're on their deathbed and they have no choice. And then, of course, there's that last moment confession, you know, and then some give them, you know, rites. The Catholics do that. Mormons do that. Mormons will even pray for them after they're dead. Now, of course, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Now, the scripture says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And one of the reasons, and that means against God, the reason it is because you get too friendly with the world, you're going to hate God, because the world hates the Lord. The world, and that's what the Lord said. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Why? Because you're his servant. And in John 3:16, where everybody's told that they're going to get saved because, you know, all you have to do is believe, right after that, he tells you that not everybody's going to come to him because they don't want to turn from their dark deeds. They love darkness more than night, and they're not going to come to get saved. So don't tell me that you get wrapped up in this world and you're just going to suddenly just hop over to the kingdom of God side. No, it don't work that way. When God calls you, you better get on your knees. You better seek him right now, because you may not get another chance. You don't know when you're going to die. Today is the day of salvation, right now. And he goes on to say, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation of them that trouble you. Now that, you know, is a comfort. Because while you go through things with patience and faith, make no mistake, God will recompense others for what they do. Now, is God being fair? Well, he is. Why? Because he says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you go around persecuting Christians, you're going to be persecuted, because that's what you're doing. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. What does the golden rule say? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. See, for whatever you're going to sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you never give out mercy, you're not going to get mercy from God. As a Christian, we give mercy. We are to forgive. We're loving to forgive. We're not perfect, but love covers a multitude of sins, not only our own, not only because God loves us and will forgive us, but because we forgive others. Goes on to say, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. And when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and to you who are troubled. Now see, tribulation does cause you to be troubled. That's what it is. Tribulation is trouble. But he says after that, rest with us. That means you get before the Lord. You find strength in the Lord. You rest in him. And you wait. It says with patience. Patience. See, Christ talks about patience in Revelations, the faith and patience of the saints. We are to have patience, waiting for our Lord, being faithful for him. And when he comes, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are actually two sets of people here. There's those that don't know God, and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now see, it's not about just head knowledge. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He had Jews surrounding him. He said, it's not that you just believe that I'm the Messiah. He says, you need to get in my word. You need to keep my word and continue in my word. Then are you my disciples. You take up your cross and follow me, he says. If you don't take up your cross and follow him, you're not worthy of him. He told some guy to come follow him. I forgot the name, but you can find this in the Gospels. They say, Lord, let me go bury my dead. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Come thou and follow me. Now see, that, and there's no messing around. There's no black and, you know, gray area, you know, and it's just like, here's the line, this is it. You're either going to be his disciple, you're not going to be his disciple. You're either going to understand this is the way it is, and frankly, it doesn't matter. Okay, we're here to serve him. Every day we live for him, come tribulation or not. Come peace, prosperity, goodness, good times, bad times, whatever times, we serve him. If you live unto the Lord. If you die unto the Lord. So whether you live or whether you die, you are the Lord's. And see, your strength, though, your root is in the Lord. You know, whenever I say that, and because I garden a lot, I know what roots are. You see, I plant a lot of stuff in planters and raised beds. And some of my stuff gets pretty big. One year I had hollyhocks. I forgot how tall they were. I don't know. It seems to me like they're about 14 feet or something. Tower might remember, but I don't know. But they were really, really tall. They were over the top of the truck, the top of my truck. My truck has a big camper on it, and it's pretty high. I had tomato plants that were about 12 foot high. But see, what I'm getting at is the roots. When these plants die and winter comes, you got to dig up the roots. And I can tell you, them plants that got so big, and you can find them even in the beds. Some of the beds where I put a lot of stuff in there, the old roots are all over in the bed. It's just amazing. You can pull out, like in some of my big pots, I have huge pots. You can pull them out when they're dried and these plants are gone. You have just the root stem hanging out. You can pull it out. You can pull out the whole thing, and those roots will hang on to every ounce of soil. You see, and I'm saying that because that's what you need in the Lord. See, you need those roots, so when the enemy tries to pull you up, those roots are in the Lord. Yeah, they can remove your life. And that's what happens with implants. Their lives are over with. And I pull them out, but they still got roots, baby. And they've also given me fruit, and the fruit has the seeds in it, and I plant the seeds, and they come back next year. Matter of fact, the Lord uses that about a seed planted in the ground. It has to die. A kernel of wheat falling in the ground. It has to die, and then it's going to grow. You see, when you're going through this stuff and they try to pull you out, you got roots. They're down, baby. They may pull you out, and you may be, they're lifeless or on the verge of death, but you're not going to lose your faith. Why? Because you got roots. You know in whom you have believed. They're there. There's nothing better than roots. Now, see, I didn't always garden. That's one of my fun hobbies in the winter, in the summertime. But I'm telling you, I've learned a lot from that garden. I've learned that thing by the sweat of your brow. I've learned that no matter how many times you try to get weeds out, they always come back. And I remember the Lord telling me, you know, when he was asked, who has done this? And he says, an enemy has sown them. See, that's what the enemy does. He does that in churches. He does that anywhere the Lord has something going on. The enemy comes back, and you can try to pull them all out. But the next day, the enemy is going to try to, he's going to put more in there. Believe me, there's one thing about having a garden, and in having, both of my grandparents had land. My roots are in the land. And there's always the weeds. There's always those things you don't want. And you can get them all out, but guess what? You're going to have to bring the workers back and get them out again. And, of course, all that comes from the fall. That comes because of sin. That comes because of the curse, Isaiah 24. It's going to cover the earth. But, see, we got hope, though. See, that hope is that it's not just resting on you and me. It's resting on you and me being rooted in He who is powerful, and that is the Lord, and He has triumphed over all principalities and powers. The devil can't pull his roots out. Matter of fact, the Lord is going to hold the devil and all of his minion over hell fire and throw him into that lake of fire. He's doomed and He knows it. But He doesn't want you to know that He knows that. He wants you to believe that He's going to rule alongside God. He's not going to rule alongside God. Yes, He's going to have a short stint, 3.5 years. Read it, baby. Revelation chapter 13. 3.5 years to be God of this earth. And He's going to be God and kill everything inside, especially those rotten Christians. And He's going to destroy them rotten Jews. And He's going to destroy. That's His plan. He ain't going to get it done, but that's His plan. Now, so, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Thank God. That's where the enemy is going. Oh. You know, we get tired of the wickedness, don't you? Right now and what's going on. But one day it's going to be gone. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and be admired in all them that believe. See, He's going to come, and we're going to see Him. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, what a day, what a glorious day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, dear God in heaven. That's a song from the church of old. Dear God in heaven, I'm not willing to see anybody perish. I don't want to see him perish. Even the enemy. Well, the devil, he can go. He's already screwed up. Him and his angels, they deserve to go. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people today, humans. Okay? Christ made it for you to be saved and delivered and not face the wrath of God, but the blessing and the redemption of God. And so the onus is on you. If you don't want it, I'm going to tell you, though, you may not want it now, but there's going to be a time that you're going to wish you had it. And that is when you get to eternity and you find out you should have taken him up on the offer and stopped being so stubborn. See, this is the battle. And today people will sell their souls for fame and glory or whatever. It's not about fame. It's not about glory. It's not about having the biggest church. It's about being faithful and knowing the Lord, having your roots down. And allowing His Spirit to move in you and work in you. Then verse 11, wherefore, or because of all these things before, also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. He's praying for the Thessalonians, you know, the Thessalonians, so that they would be worthy. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, those are good. Now see, you and I, we have hope tonight. And I think about that hope. You know, one of these days, this thing's going to be over with. You know, sometimes you may not think it. But see, we've been doing this, I'm comfortable with 20 years now. Although we started way back at Bible school in pre-1980. We've been walking this path for a long time. I was raised as a Methodist, as I said before, but I also accepted the Lord. The Lord had to get me out of the church to get me saved, get me where I needed to be. Alongside a road out in the middle of nowhere. I remember that place. I remember driving in that truck and hearing his voice. There was just me. But there was somebody else there in that truck as I drove along. Alongside that, it still brings tears to my eyes. Alongside that road, that's where Calvary is. Wherever you find the Lord today, that's Calvary for you. He died on the cross, and he's at the right hand of the Father. He's coming again, but for you, it's going to be real. If you really find him. Alongside that road, out in the middle of a desert, highway right there, people driving by, and I'm there alongside the road. They didn't know what I was doing. I was praying. I was confessing. Got done. The Lord said, okay, go home. I did. It hasn't been easy. But I can remember that moment. It is exciting. It is alive. It is purposeful. It is redemptive. And it was the cross. It was Calvary. I was there at the foot of the cross. And every drop of blood that he shed was shed for me. And for my sins. And he does that for everybody if they will listen. If they will just say, yes, Lord. But he's not going to make you. He's not going to force himself on you. He doesn't do that. He will call you. He will even bring you through certain things in order to get you ready to confess or come to him. But you make the final decision. So at any rate, we are at 123. We have been covering Journey of Promise. That's exactly what this is, a Journey of Promise. There is no doubt that for you and I tonight, there is hope. We are living in a troubled world. But the Lord has made a way for us. so, at any rate, I pray that you remember these things and you make the right choices. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those that listen whenever they do. Speak to their hearts. Help them, Lord. Deliver them, Father. Help them to be prepared. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Well, I'm very thankful that we have this hope, no matter what we go through. He's there with us every step of the way.
Yeah, that's right.
He will see us through, no matter what.
Well, I'll tell you, ISIS may have killed a lot of Christians, but a lot of them are in heaven with the Lord. I mean, they're in heaven.
Amen. They're way better off than we are, aren't they?
You know, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Death is the beginning.
Well, I want to remind everybody we won't be here next Thursday night for Thanksgiving, and Dana and I hope you have a very blessed Thanksgiving and enjoy your family and time with your family if you get to, and we thank you for all you do. We appreciate you. Love you. We're thankful you're here with us now. May God bless you richly.
Okay, we're going to say good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you. And God be with you and bless you richly.
Good night, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.